see the glory of God and the love of God in your faces. It's great to be with you. Well, good afternoon. This is actually going to be my last Eucharist with you, as I'll be leaving tomorrow morning to go to another event in Phoenix. I have so enjoyed these noon Eucharists together to participate, to receive from the Lord, and to just also be part of this amazing working of the mystery of God in the midst of the Eucharist that is so powerful. And the fact that many of you are not from this cathedral, you're from different churches throughout Selma. And what a glorious expression of the unity of the body of Christ coming together in the midst of this Eucharist. Come on, everybody can say amen to that, is that right? I want to read from you today in John chapter 21. It's a powerful expression of what happened when the resurrected Jesus came, made himself known to his disciples. And it says, beginning in verse 1, after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way. The word manifest means make yourself real. That is, show up. That is, you're not just a concept, you're not just a feeling, but you're the real deal, you're actually there in form. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit manifesting, we know that, you know, he's always with us. We know that he said he would never abandon us, but there's times, particularly in corporate gatherings like this, that there's a presence that we can actually tangibly feel. And this is the tangible presence of Jesus that they could see and feel. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will also come with you. They went out and got into the boat. That night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch. They cast, therefore, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. The disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, by the way, I love the Apostle John's amazing security in his relationship with Jesus, that he called himself in his own book, the disciple whom Jesus loved. How many disciples whom Jesus loves do we have in the room today? Anybody? Say this, I am the disciple that Jesus loves. That disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. And so when they got out upon the land, and they saw a charcoal fire already laid, and fish placed on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to question him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. You see in this miraculous story many miracles, but it starts out with something that you and I all do when we've been in a bad place in our lives, and maybe we've done something that we swore we would never do. Maybe we've gone back to an old habit or an old addiction. Maybe we've had a falling out with a friend. Maybe we feel like that we've just come to the place in our lives that this walking with Jesus is just not something that we can manage ourselves. And so we actually go back to our previous identity. Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. Now remember, they've already had two appearances of the risen Jesus. So this is the third one. And yet Peter is so consumed and overwhelmed by the failure that he was, not once, not twice, but three times, in denying Jesus and abandoning him, that he can't escape what he did. And got to remember, one of the accounts, Jesus came into the room that was locked, breathed on them, and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," which for me, I believe, means it was at that moment that they were actually regenerated and they became new creations in Christ. They didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that was later, but they received, when Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit," I believe they were regenerated to be new creations in Christ. But folks, how many of you know that we can still be new creations in Christ and still be overwhelmed by our own sinfulness? We can still be overwhelmed by our failures. And then there's that devil that is always coming to discourage us and to tell us just how bad people we really are. Nothing's ever changed. You'll always be this way. And over and over and over again. Anybody ever heard that message lately? I've heard it a few times myself. And so Peter goes back to his old identity. And he goes back and says, "I'm going to go fishing." And the other guy says, "Well, I don't know anything else better to do. Let's go do it." And so they go out, and of course, without Jesus, guess what happens? There's no fish. And there we begin to replay a scene from the very beginning of the relationship of the disciples with Jesus. The disciples are working all night. They get no fish. This strange guy stands on the shore and says, "Hey, you got any fish?" And they say, "No, we've been working all night. There's no fish." "Well, hey, try one more time. Put it on the other side of the boat. Let's try one more time." And they want to say, "No, wait a minute. We've been fishing there all night. There's nothing there." But for whatever reason, they're so compelled that they do that again. And as they begin to lift up the net, and the net is so full of fish, John gets it and he says, "Wait a minute, this is Jesus." And the great thing about all of this is that Peter is so excited. This is how I know Peter is so much, I can relate to Peter so well. Because at one side, I'm so overwhelmed with my own sinfulness and my own failures. And I'm listening to the devil just drowning me out all the time. And yet at the same point, when I know Jesus is near, I still get excited and I want to go to him. I want to be in his presence. And so literally, you know, normally people take off their clothes and jump in the sea. Peter just does the opposite. He puts it all on and he jumps in the sea. And I heard one expositor say once that actually he thought that the scene was that Peter, with all of his clothes on, is doing his best to swim to shore. And here come the disciples, and they're looking at him and saying, "Well, there you are, Peter. Here we come. We're coming." And they actually made it to shore before Peter. I don't know. There's no indication of that, but I thought it's an interesting speculation. When they get to shore, they find Jesus there, and he's already got a fire going, and he's already got fish, and he's already got bread. And I'm the kind of person that says, "Where'd the fish and bread come from?" Right? Where'd the fish and... I mean, he just asked them for fish. There was no fish. But somehow Jesus already has fish and bread. Which tells me, once again, of the amazing, miraculous provision that our Lord always gives us in the midst of our inability to produce anything that might meet our needs. Jesus is always there to meet the need and even above and beyond. So they come onto shore. Now, you got to understand something. Even though this is the third encounter that they've had with Jesus, this is going to become the most intimate encounter. Because in that world, the most intimate thing you can do with another person beyond your spouse is eat with them. And so this becomes the most intimate encounter where Jesus literally has communion, fellowship with them. And he takes the fish and he breaks the bread and they share it together. And it's in the midst of all of that that Jesus invites them. And he invites them in into intimacy and into fellowship again. And by doing so, he reestablishes their identity as his followers. Why is this so important? Because they had all chosen to walk away from him in the midst of his greatest need, when he was crying out to them and say, "Please stay with me. Please stay awake. Please be with me." They all walked away from him. And for them, they felt like that they broke a contract that could never be made again. And what Jesus is saying is, no, guys, just let me tell you, for me, it's never changed. For me, it's never changed. You'll always be my followers because I've called you to be mine. And see, today in the midst of the Eucharist, I want you to hear Jesus say to you again that no matter what you do, because I've called to you, you're always going to be mine. And he said earlier, he said, nobody can take them from my hand. I mean, that's what he literally says about those who love him. Nobody can take them from my hand. And so I want you to hear, first of all, the security of Jesus calling you fresh and anew and saying, the contract's not changed, it's not broken, because I'm the one who made the contract, not you. I'm the one that made the call. I'm the one that drew you in. I'm the one that chose you. And so therefore, what I say still goes. And no matter how far you go, no matter how off the path you go, it never changes. So come and have a dinner with me. Come and fellowship with me. Come and let's be present again. Let's talk about the old stories again. Let's talk about the new destiny and purpose that we have. And let's talk about all the amazing impossibilities are now possible for us. Because Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and now Jesus is risen from the dead. And since Jesus has risen from the dead, anything that we thought impossible is now possible. And it's in the midst of that beautiful fellowship of fish and bread. Today we look at bread and wine that becomes the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He reestablishes our identity. He lets us know he loves us. And he says, let's keep dreaming about impossible things and seeing them possible. And let's believe for the kingdom of God to come afresh and anew. And let the love of Jesus Christ cleanse us, renew us, affirm us, and move us into the greater things of God's kingdom. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word today.